KALW.
It's heart music. It's the way Black people sang out their angst into praise.
Gospel music has a special place in the Black church.
And they were like, we want to do this year round. How can we do this and not have to join a Christian church?
We'll visit a choir that opens its doors to all people from all races, faith or no faith. Then we head to the desert and spend time with a group of Christians at Burning Man.
When I would first say, can I bless you? You have no idea, right? If the blessing is going to be something spiritual or it's going to be a spanking or something.
We'll go where party meets prayer. I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. Today, we're starting with a segment from our Culture Keepers series, celebrating the Bay Area's unique spaces and communities.
People just look at it like you're just driving a piece of junk on the streets. But to us, it's like a canvas on wheels.
There's a lot of dirt, rocks, love, and sweat. Maybe a couple of cigarettes.
Do coffee. Do something. No rights reserved. No wrongs preserved.
I felt like I was with my people.
If you pass by a church in Oakland on a Sunday, chances are you'll hear it swell with African-American gospel music. It's a powerful genre with deep historical roots. But there's one choir in Oakland that performs this music outside of churches, with many members who aren't Black or Christian or either. And they've been doing it for almost 40 years. KLW's Hussein Khan takes us there.
Most Monday nights, about 50 singers gather for rehearsal of the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir. They fill the pews of the Imani Church, singing up the stained glass windows. They have a performance in a few days, so they start with some scales. Then warm up their voices. And when the director of the choir arrives, they get down to business. What you're hearing is gospel music. Now, there are a couple different kinds of gospel music, but this is gospel rooted in the African American church, the African American experience.
It's you are great. I have about five people just hanging out on you are great. It was at that point, yes, they're still.
That's Terrence Kelly. He founded the choir in 1986, and he defines gospel as heart music.
The heart and the spirit of gospel is so infectious that people will say to me, I only feel this way when I sing this music. And it's because it's built on struggle and love. It's built on struggle and love and hope.
He says gospel is a combination of those sometimes contradictory emotions because it comes out of the history of slavery.
It's built on the back of the slave, of the African-American slave, with the conversion of slaves to Christianity by force.
Gospel music is rooted in an older kind of song called the spiritual, which enslaved African-Americans used to sing during work or gatherings. Terrence likes to have the choir sing spirituals in performances to educate audiences.
When we sang Wade in the Water, I wanted people to listen for the wailing and the hurt of the slave that might be escaping and using the water to cover their tracks. How come me here? God, how come I'm going through this? And then you hear the anguish of the soloist at the end as the choir, everybody screams, and the soloist holds onto that screams to make it personal. People need to know that that was not a pretty time. You know, we can't forget that. It's not that far gone.
He says the music has always helped people process the darkest realities.
It's heart music. It's the way Black people sang out their angst into praise, sang through their angst into praise. So, you know, all the problems that you have in life, you bring it to the music. You let it sit there and then you push it through into a state of praise so you're able to handle anything.
And African-American gospel music has influenced all music that's come after it in the United States.
Without the spiritual or work song from the African slave, there is no American music unless it's indigenous people's music. That just simply means all the pop, gospel, jazz, blues, all of it stands on the shoulders of the slave song, and it shows up still in the runs and curly cues, or whatever you want to call them, of all the way up to Taylor Swift. When you hear a song, that's a run. That's all built on the pentatonic scale, which Africans brought over. So in the spiritual, you'll hear that. You hear that pentatonic scale in so many songs and in the runs, in the riffs of artists right now today.
Terrence's own personal history with gospel music goes way back to before he was born.
My father was the late, great Ed Kelly, jazz pianist, organist, bass player, and gospel blues organist. My mother was the late, great Faye Kelly. She was a gospel choir directress and gospel writer. We sang all the time at home. We sang with my mother. She had groups, and we sang background for her at home in their rehearsals. There was never a time that I thought I would not sing gospel. It's in my bones. I mean, I'm Ed and Faye Kelly's kid. There wasn't a chance for me.
Gospel isn't just a part of Terrence's history, but Oakland's too. Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. The biggest thing about Oakland would be that the Hawkins family are from Oakland, and the biggest gospel hit yet today is still Oh Happy Day, and it was created here in Oakland.
Terrence had the idea of the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir in 1986. He was attending jazz camp, now called Living Jazz, a program where musicians jam and do workshops together in California's forests. Terrence had been going to the camp for years, but that year, when he was 23, he shared gospel music with the group.
And they were like, we want to do this year round. How can we do this and not have to join a Christian church? How can we sing this music year round? We have to sing this music. It really edifies us and centers us in a way that nothing else has previously in our lives.
And they asked if he would be interested in starting a choir that would welcome people of any faith.
And I thought about it. I am Christian. I prayed about it. I talked to my pastor about it. And he said something that was very poignant. He said, if you do that choir for 100 years and it blesses one person, it was worth it. And I said, okay, pastor. I came back and said, yeah, let's do it.
The choir started with about 20 members and now has more than 70. They've toured the world, and its members come from all kinds of religious backgrounds: Christians, Jews, atheists, Buddhists, agnostics, Muslims.
There's somebody that said Boo Jew, a Buddhist Jew, a Buddhist Jew.
And for Terrence, the choir is reflective of the place where we live.
The Bay Area is kind of hippie central. But out of that hippiness is a spirit of love, because that is the hippie movement. Really, the hippie movement is all about rejecting constriction and opening the heart to love. So in a way, I guess I'm a gospel hippie. I believe that Jesus would have been like the very first Unitarian. So who am I not to be like him?
Not everybody understands what the choir is about.
There have been performances that we have rejected because they want you to come. They want you to be a gospel choir. They want you to wear robes. They don't want you to say, Lord Jesus, our spirit. Then you really don't want a gospel choir. There's somebody else out there for you.
He says you don't have to have a narrow definition of God to sing or get something from this music. Terrence says God can be deity, spirit, or a sense of goodness itself. This isn't the first time KALW has talked to Terrence.
10 years have gone by. Do you still think this type of choir is needed?
Most definitely. The need for an open community will always be there. That's the answer to that.
Yes, I'm asking, even if the message is the same, how do you think the first time you were interviewed, like the resonance is different? Because a lot has changed in the last 10 years.
Has it really? For an African American in these United States, has it really? I'll throw that question back at you.
A few days after that rehearsal, I joined the choir before a concert. During a mic check, I took a break from recording sound. I'm Muslim, and I found a quiet hallway to do my Muslim prayer. Call it coincidence or divine timing, but when I bowed down to my God, I could hear the song about troubles and problems bowing down to Jesus in the background. I was still thinking about it a couple hours later when the choir performed it on stage. The funny thing is, this is the first time the choir's performed the song called I Refuse by Anthony Brown. And it's because Terrence couldn't get it out of his head either.
I actually chose that song for me. The first time I heard it, I was in the car. I had to pull over. I was just bawling. I don't know where I was. All I know is I remember pulling over because I was going through some health challenges, and the song got to every sickness, every disease, every danger, seen and unseen. And I realized I couldn't see anything, so I had to pull over. I had to pull over so I could listen to the song and cry, just get it out. That's what I believe. I know it. So I have to share that song, you know, because that's how I can have peace. That's how I can sleep.
I understand how hard it can be to have faith when you see news here and abroad. This made me wonder, how does Terrence maintain faith in both God and community in such troubling and divided times?
The faith in God controls the faith in community, because I know that the peace be still moment is coming. Sure, we have struggle, but in today's world, I still believe that my God is bigger. And that's what the song, that really is what the song is saying. That's how I can walk through the world without just becoming a hateful person, because I believe that my God is bigger than any problem that's ever going to be set in front of me.
And he hopes the same is true for the singers and audience members too, whatever they believe. In Oakland, I'm Hussein Khan for Cross Currents. My God.
Hussein reported that story as a fellow in our summer journalism program. You can find more stories from our Culture Keepers series celebrating the Bay Area's unique spaces at our website, klw.org/culturekeepers. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Next, we head to another space that welcomes a diversity of perspective and faith. But this time, it's a party all the way out in the desert called Burning Man. Over the weekend, around 70,000 people made the journey to Black Rock City in Nevada to build and celebrate a temporary utopia. More than 38 years ago, Bay Area artists and iconoclasts started the event as an alternative to what they saw as a commercialized, commodified, cookie-cutter world. Burning Man has always been pagan at its core, with a reputation for lots of sex and drug use. So why do some devout Christians go each year, and what do they do when they're there? Back in 2020, for his series, The Intersection, KALW's director of programming, David Boyer, met Brian Baker, an Episcopal priest who runs a camp called Religious AF. This excerpt begins with the first sermon he gave to his church after returning from his first burn.
So Jesus goes into a foreign land, and he encounters a stranger. This is a challenging gospel reading that I'm not going to talk about today, because I returned last night from Burning Man.
He went on to describe the event to a group of people who, for the most part, had never been.
I got to be in this place of radical inclusion and welcome and giving and receiving and caring. When you arrive at Burning Man, everyone says to you, "Welcome home." And everybody is welcome, regardless of what you're wearing or what you're not wearing. In this community, I know my neighbors better in 3 days than I know my neighbors at home. Welcome home to a place where your heart can be open, where your love can change everything. Welcome home. Amen.
That evening, as the church did every Sunday, they uploaded a video of Brian's sermon to Vimeo. But this time, instead of getting a few dozen views, it went viral.
Within 2 months, probably like 25,000 people had seen it, and I started getting emails from all over the world and other Episcopal clergy who go to Burning Man, who never would have connected with one another, all contacted me because they saw the sermon.
The next year, a group of those folks came together and planned a pop-up service at the temple, which is arguably the spiritual center of Burning Man.
We had 5 people after that service come up to us and say, "Are you doing this every day?" Never after a Mass on Sunday morning have I had parishioners come up to me and say, "That was so amazing, are you doing this again tomorrow?" And what I realized was there are so many people here that have unfinished business with Jesus, or have wounds from the church, or are hungry and yearning, and they want to have sort of the deep conversations about God and life and the Spirit and all of that. So that's when I knew a camp would be really helpful.
And that became his mission, to organize a theme camp for Christians of all denominations and stripes that's intentionally guided by the principles of Burning Man. His vision was made manifest in 2018. The camp's name was inspired by interactions he had with burners as he wandered through the desert those first years.
When someone would say to me, "I'm spiritual but not religious," I would say, "Well, I'm religious as f***," just to provide a different perspective to that conversation. And it's been a perfect name because it lets people know we're religious, but we're not religious in the way that you're afraid of because we say f***.
A week after I arrive on the playa, I head to Brian's camp. It's not yet 10 a.m., but there's plenty going on in Black Rock City. I bike through Center Camp and pass folks lined up to buy ice. I pass the Dusty Pineapple, Dusty Frogs, and the Dusty Taint Bar. It takes a bit of looking around to find religious as f***, especially because, at first glance, theirs looks like a typical theme camp, with a hodgepodge of shade structures, tents, camping chairs, and a geodesic dome. Then I spot it, a big, hand-painted banner that says religious as f***, and a sandwich board that reads, "May I bless you?"
Yes, hello. I imagine you're here for Brian.
I am. Well, I'm here for church. Anybody,
oh, for church.
The guy that greets me is dressed for service in a priest collar, cut-off khakis, and a sparkly rainbow cape.
Are we missing prayer?
It's probably about now.
We head to the geodesic dome. Inside, it's light and airy and pretty quiet. A group of about 15 have already gathered. They're sitting cross-legged in a circle on soft, pastel-colored blankets.
So as we settle into this space, which is both soft and hard and colorful and blank, I invite you to just open your hearts and minds to the presence of God.
This morning's service is being led by Pastor Patty Jenkins. We're all following along in blue, softcover Black Rock prayer books, which Patty and Brian helped write.
We had a group of people who wrote the prayers and specifically for Burning Man and Black Rock City and religious as f***. Last year, there was a lot of people getting pulled over by the cops heading into Burning Man. So I wrote a Burning Man travel prayer. That's in there, and there are others of those kinds of things. But yeah, we have a real legit prayer book.
So we are on page 13. We'll begin today with our Thursday opening sentence from Henry Nouwen.
They read a quote or passage inspired by Burning Man's 10 principles at the start of each morning service. Today, they pay tribute to communal effort and participation.
We make many attempts to establish the outer world as a safe haven. Instead of finding a safe haven within and bringing that to the outer world. I want to just read it again.
The camp makes a conscious effort to go light on the Jesus and the fire and brimstone.
This is an expression of Christianity that honors people's faith from all traditions. We're also very careful knowing the way the church has wounded people. So we have religious symbols, but we're not using the ones that are most triggering for people.
But ultimately, it is a camp of Christians. Next to a massive rainbow flag hangs a tapestry of Jesus, and he's embedded in their prayers.
Christ has risen and brought light to the people, the people Christ has redeemed with resurrection light.
Alleluia.
I think Jesus would have been a burner.
That's Annie Dunlop, one of the camp's leaders. She's a practicing Catholic and a longtime burner who's helped run big camps out here before.
People ask me a lot of times, you know, you smoke pot. What would Jesus say about that? I said he would probably not judge me on the fact that I smoke pot and ask me why before judging me. Actually, Jesus was a radical. He would have been one of these folks that wants people to think differently.
One of our taglines of our camp is where Jesus and the 10 principles meet. Last year, less so this year for some reason, but we got hecklers. They would ride by and say, you know, you're praying to a sky fairy.
Out in the default world, I can say, I help run a Burning Man theme camp. Oh, Burning Man theme camp. Then you get around other burners and it's a which theme camp do you run? Oh, it's a Christian theme camp. And all of a sudden you're ostracized. The ostracizing comes in forms of silence, maybe a redirected conversation, confession of a trauma, such as, I've been molested by a priest. You camp with them? How dare you? Wow, that's at Burning Man? Christians think they're going to come out here and do that? Is it evangelical?
We're not here to sell Jesus or sell the church. And, you know, people are wounded, and part of our role is to just bear the wounds. And to just non-reactively bear the wounds because they're certainly justified.
Was our closing blessing. We invite you to turn to someone near you and face each other and to offer each other this blessing.
A woman with long blonde hair turns to me with sympathetic eyes and an air of calm and openness.
Would you like to be blessed? Can I hold your hand?
Please.
Okay.
She has the Black Rock prayer book in her hand, but like most people in the dome, she knows this one by heart. This is the prayer Brian wrote as a gift to the playa back in 2015. It's now part of every service and ceremony that the camp performs here.
The world is now too dangerous and too beautiful for anything but love. May your eyes be so blessed that you see God in everyone. May your ears be so blessed that you hear the cry of the poor.
That was an excerpt of a story from The Intersection, which aired in 2020. It was produced by KLW's Director of Programming, David Boyer. If you want to hear more stories from Black Rock City, we'll have a link to the entire season of The Intersection at Burning Man. That's at klw.org/crosscurrents. Today's Cross Currents team includes Michaela Sia, Christopher Alam, James Rollins, Ganadi Joe Johnson, Victor Tenz, Shirin Adil, Angela Johnston, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega Welch, Sunni Khalid, and Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.